A very warm good evening to each one of you. It's great to be back here at the 5 p.m. service to bring the Word of God to you. Okay, we are continuing with our sermon series from the book of Esther. And there's a sermon outline in your church bulletin which you can use to follow. Can I have the first slide, please? Schindler's List. How many of you have seen the movie or have heard of the movie, Schindler's List? Yes, I see a number of hands here. Well, it was released in 1993. It is an award-winning film, and it's based on the true story of the Holocaust. It recreates a dark period during World War II when Germany occupied Poland. And the German soldiers threw the Jews out of their homes, out of their businesses, put them into ghettos, and finally into concentration camps for execution. Oskar Schindler, the hero of the show, he was a German businessman, and he joined the Nazi party for political advantage. He made a deal with the commandant of the labor camp to send Jews to work in his factories for a measly sum. At this point, Schindler sees the Jews as nothing but cheap labor to maximize the profitability of his businesses. But over time, he became very sympathetic towards their plight. And he actually spent almost his entire fortune bribing the SS officials so that he could save the Jews. And he saved over 1,100 Jews from death in the gas chambers. As I read the book of Esther, I'm reminded of this movie. The two characters, Schindler and Esther, are totally different, but yet they face the same choice: not to do anything and to see people die or to save lives. So in Esther chapter 4, Esther, Queen Esther, was faced with a choice: to do nothing and let the Persian king's edict take effect. That would mean the total destruction of all the Jews throughout the Persian Empire. Or she could risk her life and save her people from annihilation. Last Sunday, Reverend Joshua gave an account of Esther's rise from an orphan girl to becoming the queen of Persia. How the king passed an edict which ordered the destruction of all the Jews in the kingdom. And how Mordecai commanded Esther to go to the king and to beg him for mercy on behalf of her people. Esther, being a young girl, she was afraid to go to the king, as under the law, whoever approached the king without being summoned will be put to death unless the king spared the person's life. Mordecai warned Esther that if she did nothing, God would deliver the Jews from another source, but she and her father's house will perish. And perhaps God had placed her in her royal position for such a time as this. Esther could remain immobilized by her fear, or she could pluck up her courage and fulfill her destiny. She chose to fulfill her destiny, but she didn't pursue it carelessly. Instead, she asked Mordecai to gather all the Jews in the city of Susa to enter into a total fast for 3 days and three nights on her behalf. A total fast is when a person abstains from food and water. And she said that she and her young women would do the same. They would all call on God to deliver them from this crisis. And after the fast, she would go to the king, and she was prepared to lay down her life. Her famous words, "If I perish, I perish." My sermon topic for today is seeking God through prayer and fasting. Although prayer is not mentioned in our scripture text from Esther chapter 4, we know that fasting in Israel was always accompanied by prayer to God for deliverance from danger. I've given you two scripture texts in your sermon outline of instances where fasting was always accompanied by prayer. So you can read that on your own. Great spiritual leaders in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and also in our modern times, they were men and women who fasted and who prayed very much. Let me share first on prayer, and then we move on to fasting. So prayer is the beginning and the ending of everything. It is God's way of accomplishing His will through His church. Nothing that God is going to do will happen without prayer. Can we say amen to that? So there's much to be said about building up a personal, vibrant prayer life. And our supreme example is Jesus Himself. Jesus, when we read the Gospels, we see Him rising up early in the morning while it was still dark to pray. And everything that Jesus said or did was what He received from God His Father in the place of prayer. The most significant victory that Jesus won on the cross began in the place of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So there's much to be said about personal prayer. But today I would like to focus on corporate prayer. It's interesting that when James Tan began the intercession just now, he quoted Matthew 18 and verse 19. And that's precisely the verse that, you know, the Lord gave me. Jesus promised in Matthew 18 and verse 19 that if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The key word is agree. The prayer of agreement is powerful. God wants His church to walk in step with Him, to harmonize in prayer, and to come into total agreement with His purposes. Now, many a time we come to God with a shopping list and we expect Him to give us what we want. We want Him to bless what we have already decided, and we want Him to do our will instead of seeking His will. That may be the way we pray when we are still young in faith, but God still, you know, listens to those prayers. He is so gracious and He gives us what is best for us. But as we mature in our faith, we learn to put aside our personal agendas. We learn to listen for God wants in a particular situation and how we can participate with Him in His divine purposes. Queen Esther knew the power of corporate prayer. So she told Mordecai to gather all the Jews in the city of Susa to fast and pray for this dangerous mission that she was about to embark on. And in the 3 days of fasting and prayer, I believe that God showed Esther what she was to do and how to partner Him in accomplishing His purpose for the salvation of the Jews throughout the Persian Empire. Last year, do you remember what did we designate last year? 2018, Bishop designated it the year of prayer. It was a time for us to seek God's face for the salvation of our land. And the battle for souls this year, the year of proclamation, began in the place of prayer last year. Everyone who has come to faith for the first time, whether it was before Celebration of Hope rallies, during Celebration of Hope rallies, or even after Celebration of Hope rallies, they have all been prayed for and prayed into the kingdom. I'd like to commend for your reading the latest bishop's article in the latest issue of the Diocesan Digest. And you can find them on the track racks, you know, in both the South Transept, North Transept halls, as well as at the entrance to the West Porch. And in this article, Bishop tells us what we are to do going forward after celebration of hope. So please read it. We are to continue in this year of proclamation, to continue to sow the seeds of the gospel, because God's promise to us is that we will have a bumper harvest. We thank God for the many thousands who have come to faith through the rallies. But God wants to give us more as we pray, as we sow in tears, we will reap the harvest of souls with shouts of joy. And the wonderful thing about praying together is that denominational walls were broken down. In our praying together in agreement for the salvation of our land, through various platforms last year, like solemn assemblies, Pray Singapore, where 50,000 gathered in the National Stadium to pray, and also, you know, the City at Prayer that takes place every Friday here in the Cathedral at the South Transept. God has blessed the church with an unprecedented level of unity like never before, and it's made it possible for us to cooperate and collaborate with one another to take the gospel, you know, to the people of our land. Satan's main strategy against the church is to divide and to conquer, and Satan is very happy when people in the church quarrel with one another, when we take offense with one another. He's very happy because he's got very little work to do. But he hates prayer, and he's afraid of Christians who kneel to pray, because he knows that when God's people pray, he will lose the battle. For the cathedral, corporate prayer can happen at different levels. When two or three are gathered in his name, wherever you may be, in your office, in your home, in the church even, you know, where there are two or three of you gather together to pray what is on God's heart. It can take place in connect groups. Whenever we meet in a connect group, devote some time to pray together. In our pre-service intercession at the congregational level, we also gather to pray for the service, and we expect God to move mightily in our midst. We also have our corporate prayer during service. Yeah, and it's not a time for us to rest, while the prayer leader works. It's for us to agree with the prayer leader in prayer. So our amen is so important. Yeah? When we end the prayer together, we say, "Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ." We are agreeing in prayer, in corporate prayer. And also we have our cathedral's monthly prayer and praise meetings, which happens on the fourth Friday of every month. Come, join the body of Christ in the cathedral to pray. To pray that God will fulfill in us and through us his calling and his destiny for the cathedral as well as for the nation. And as we meet together, we widen our horizons as we listen to what God is doing in our church and in our nation, and we pray his purposes into fruition. And as we make time to pray, make it a point to pray with one another, pray in agreement, we will experience a greater measure of the power of God and a deeper bond of unity. Let me now move on to fasting. Fasting helps to release the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We read from the Gospels just now that when Jesus was baptized, he was full of the Holy Spirit when he returned from the River Jordan. And then the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights before he began his public ministry. And we read that after his fast, he overcame. He was tempted by the devil, and he overcame every one of Satan's temptations. He returned to Galilee to begin his public ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. At baptism, he was full of the Holy Spirit. After he fasted and prayed, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a man named Mahesh Chafda. He authored this book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. He shared his personal experience of how such a power of the Holy Spirit was released when he was called into fasting and prayer. He was working in a hospital for the mentally handicapped children. And there he met a little boy called Stevie. That's not his real name because he has to maintain confidentiality. He used his name, Stevie, for the boy. So Stevie was born with Down's syndrome. And he would beat himself repeatedly on the face. The hospital staff were at their wits' end as to what to do with Stevie, because they just couldn't stop him from doing that. And finally, they resorted to tying Stevie's hands with splints so that he could not bend his arm to reach his face. But the other children, and bear in mind that they also have a mental condition, they took advantage of Stevie's situation. And they would be very naughty. They would push him. And he would fall forwards. And because Stevie could not bend his arm to shield his face from injury, he would fall flat on his face, bleed from his nose, his lips, and his mouth. And this situation really grieved Mahesh's heart. And he asked God what he could do to help Stevie. And God told him to fast. Now, he had not done that before, but he obeyed God. Initially, he struggled to fast. He would have visions of fried chicken and all the potatoes and all that, you know, drifting in, and oh dear, how is he going to fast, you know? But he kept at it, and by the grace of God, he managed to fast. On the 14th day of the fast, God told him he could now pray for Stevie. And he was led to command the spirit of mutilation to let go of Stevie in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus carries the authority of Jesus and it's powerful. The demons will have to obey. The boy manifested. He was flung right across the room. But he was delivered from the spirit of mutilation. And he no longer felt a compulsion to beat himself repeatedly in the face. Praise God for that, the power of prayer and fasting. Mahesh describes prayer as the capsule containing our requests to God, and fasting as the booster rocket that lifts our prayers beyond the boundaries of earth and into the heavenlies. Wow, isn't that wonderful? He also likens prayer to a hand grenade. All of you who have been to the army, and think those of you who are not also women should know, a hand grenade has the power to, to destroy many people at one time. But fasting is likened to having a nuclear weapon in our hands. So in other words, fasting increases the effectiveness of prayer in spiritual warfare. Mahesh has gone to many nations to preach the gospel to multitudes in mass crusades. And in many of these nations, there was strong spiritual opposition to the gospel. He had to battle demon gods and goddesses, dark powers, witchcraft, and sorcery. So even before he went into these countries, he would fast and he would pray. He would enter into intense spiritual warfare against the power of the Antichrist. And that was how breakthrough came. The battle was already fought in the spiritual realm before he went into these countries. When he went, the victory had already won, and many people responded to the gospel message. Hundreds of thousands of people received Christ as their Savior and Lord. And God showed up in these crusades. He manifested himself in miraculous healings, signs, and wonders. God's will, clearly stated in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, can I have this slide, is that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Next slide. So the church is like Esther, whom God has birthed and brought to maturity for such a time as this. We are in a Kairos time, brothers and sisters, a time where hearts will be open to the gospel and they are ready to receive Christ. It is by prayer and fasting that God's will for the salvation of the lost can be accomplished. Celebration of hope is a step towards revival. That's what our bishop said. So we need to build on it. We need to press in with prayer and fasting. And with the Holy Spirit empowering us to witness, we want to claim Singapore and the nations beyond for Jesus. Do we believe in God's promise? And are we ready to fast, to pray, and then to be fervent in our witness to win the loss? I just like to share a testimony, and this is post-COH. I shared before, I think, in this congregation that God gave me a burden to pray for my relatives because most of them are still not Christians yet. And I realized that in my generation, perhaps only one or two of us are Christians. So many still not saved. And I began to pray for them. And you know, two of them have come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ just within a period of 6 months. As I prayed, the Lord opened the door of opportunity for me to share the gospel with them, and they accepted Christ. One of them was my uncle. My uncle lives in Thailand. And recently, my uncle told me that his very close friend who accompanied him to church has also come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I praise and thank God, you know, for his mercy. And when I met up with my uncle recently, he asked me on behalf of his close friend. She's concerned about her mother. When the mother dies, can she hold joss sticks to pay respects to the mother? And I told him that if you want to make a stand, you should make a stand. But when I came home to Singapore, it suddenly struck me that why did I tell him that? Why didn't I tell him that, ask your friend to pray for the salvation of her mother? And then there would not be this issue. And you know, his reply to me was, she had already started doing that. So I really, really praise God, you know, for how, you know, one after another, you know, he's just bringing people to faith in Christ. A prophetic word was released on the 7th of July by this person called Mike Thompson. He is an American. That's his picture. It was released to the believers in Asia. One day when Mike was just waiting on God, the Spirit came upon him and God showed him a map of countries in Asia, and Singapore was included in that map. He saw the vision of the countries and he could feel the hearts and the prayers of the believers. You know, we're in this season of 40-day fast and prayer. This is every year that takes place on the 1st of July and ends on the 8th of August. And it's gone on for 23 years. This is a prayer that has been started by Love Singapore. And every year for 40 days, over the last 23 years, we've been following this prayer guide, a very, very anointed material. And I would encourage you, if you have not picked up a copy, please go and get one after the service at the information desk. It's only $1. And it contains so much treasures in it. It helps you to pray the Word of God. So there are prayers, you know, prayers from the body of Christ. And Mike Thompson was saying that he could feel the hearts and the prayers of the believers. And the Lord is hearing all the prayers. He's working miracles and having people saved. But he also sends depression in many believers. They're asking what should they pray for and how should they push through this. And he sends the Spirit of God telling the people in Asia to do something for the next 30 to 90 days, to pray the Lord's Prayer and to speak it into the nation. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Singapore as it is in heaven. Let us declare that. God, your will be done in Singapore as it is in heaven. And so on and so forth, no? Completing the Lord's Prayer. Mike sensed that the Lord is moving in East Asia. And he's already doing a lot in revival, in spiritual awakening, in bringing people into the kingdom. He wants to do more through our prayers. Will we partner God in this mighty move that he wants to bring to East Asia through our prayers and also our fasting? One woman, Queen Esther, rallied the Jews in the city of Susa to a corporate fast and prayer for 3 days and three nights. And that released the power of the Holy Spirit through her, which resulted in the salvation of the entire Jewish race during her time. You and I, we've been given the weapons of spiritual warfare to wage war against Satan, who has kept many in bondage to sin. Will we fast? Will we pray to set the captives free? Derek Prince, a well-known theologian and author, fasted and prayed for the salvation of his mother. And in his own words, and I quote, "Although it took many years, God saved her very definitely and very dramatically, almost at the last moment. At about the last time I could be reassured she really understood the gospel, she had a tremendous experience of salvation. So it pays to pray and fast." I just want to add that Esther was prepared to lay down her life in order to save the Jewish population that was scattered throughout the Persian Empire. Jesus, the Son of God, he came down from heaven to earth in the form of a man and laid down his life to save all of mankind. Why did he have to do that? The Bible tells us that we are created by God, who desires to have a relationship with us, but we chose to rebel against God and to go our own way. The Bible calls this sin. Sin breaks our relationship with God and separates us from God. We are lost without God, and life has no more meaning for us. The punishment for sin is death, eternal separation from God. We all deserve to die for our sin, but Jesus took the punishment by dying on the cross for us. He died in our place so that we can stand before God without guilt and without condemnation. All we have to do is to believe that Jesus died to save us from the penalty of sin, and that through him we can have life. A life with God, restored back into that relationship with him, and not separated or apart from God. The Bible calls this life, eternal life, life always with God. And Jesus offers the gift of eternal life to anyone who believes in him. If you are here and you have not accepted Jesus' gift of eternal life, wherever you may be seated, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just be quiet before the Lord. If you have not accepted Christ and you want Jesus' gift of eternal life, please pray this prayer after me. Dear God, I admit I've rebelled against you and have gone my own way. I'm lost without you. I believe that you sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross, to take the punishment for my sin. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sin. I accept your gift of eternal life, and I ask you now to come into my heart, to be my Savior and my Lord from this day forward. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, I would like to meet you after the service. I'll be here, right in front. And I'd like to help you to understand more about the Christian faith and how you can grow in your relationship with God. I've attached to the sermon outline some notes on fasting, the types of fasts you can enter into, the purposes of fasting, the benefits of fasting, how you should fast, what you can expect during a fast, how you should start, and how you should break your fast. And I would recommend that you just start with a one-meal fast, perhaps a lunch fast, once a week. And take that time to pray. Ask God to lay upon your heart a burden for those in your family, your relatives or your friends or your office colleagues or your neighbors who are still not safe, and pray for their salvation. You can also use this 40-day prayer guide. Many have been blessed and ministered in using this prayer guide. So I hope that you take time to read the notes, because in this short time that I have with you, I cannot possibly go through everything. But I just want to end by saying that fasting is not a magic formula to force the hand of God to do what I want. So God, I fasted, so you must give me what I've been fasting and praying for. No, actually in fasting, we get to hear God more clearly. And our prayer becomes more targeted, because we are praying in alignment with God's will. It is a powerful weapon of spiritual warfare. Can I just close us in prayer? Father, we thank you for your presence with us this evening, O God. And I pray, Lord, that you seal your words in our hearts, O God. Let us not go away from this place unchanged, untransformed, but help us to take your word and to apply it in our lives, that we may experience the power of prayer and fasting in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who hears. You are a God who always wants the best for us. So, Lord, teach us your ways, O God, that we may grow strong in our spirit man, to be your soldiers in your end-time army, and to continue, Lord, to press in to what you have promised, a harvest of souls, a bumper crop, and revival in our land. We bless you, we thank you, we honor you, we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.